As we enter into Holy Week, the 7 days before Easter, one of the stories we remember is the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Or at any rate, we call it a triumph, but not in the modern way that we use the word, like the triumph of winning a gold medal or being met with praise and applause. In the ancient Roman world that Jesus lived in, a triumph was a military parade, a state-sponsored show of power. Jesus rarely does what we want him to, or even what we expect him to. What the oppressed Jewish people wanted was for Jesus to march into Jerusalem in a triumph, the kind of triumph that followed a military victory. They wanted Jesus to overthrow the government and usher in a new era. I mean, he had the power. He could have done it. The kind of man who could raise Lazarus from the dead surely had the power to conquer Rome. He is met by crowds lining the streets, not to throw flower petals, not to cheer his passing, not to congratulate him, but to cry out, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us." The crowd is desperate for solutions, for changes, for revolutions, for relief, for hope, for a cure. The kind of man who could raise Lazarus from the dead surely had the power to fix all their problems. People were falling over each other, pushing through, trying to reach the front of the line, trying to get close enough for Jesus to hear them, close enough to get what they wanted from the man who could raise Lazarus from the dead, and who surely had the power to do anything. Some things don't change. I think the Hosanna we're crying out today isn't all that different from the Hosanna of the crowd that day 2,000 years ago. After all, we are still living in a global pandemic. If Jesus were to march through Milan today, I'd be in the crowd, not shouting hooray, but shouting, "Help us." Our reading this morning comes to us from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. I'd like to share some words from Debbie Thomas again this morning, who serves a church in California and blogs at Journeys with Jesus. Debbie writes, "One of the lines I've heard often over the past few weeks is, 'There's light at the end of the tunnel.' I hear my neighbors saying it when I step out to walk my dog. I hear it in grocery stores, at the bank, on the news. After months of COVID-induced fear and isolation, we're finally glimpsing hope as the vaccines roll out, the daily death tolls drop, and the restrictions on our social lives ease up. All of this is wonderful." The other line I've heard, though, is this: "I can't bear anymore." As in, I can't bear another COVID variant. I can't bear another vaccine delay. I can't bear another political scandal. I can't bear another mass shooting. As ever, our lives slide from hope to disappointment, disappointment to hope. On the one hand, the light at the end of the tunnel revives and renews us. On the other hand, it shows us just how bleak and dismal the tunnel has been. In other words, it doesn't take us human beings long to go from praise to pain. What a fitting context for Palm Sunday, our entry into Holy Week. Today we begin a journey that holds within it the fullness of the human story, the highs, the lows, the hopes, the fears. In the span of 7 days, we do it all. We praise, process, break bread, wash feet, make promises, break promises, deny, betray, condemn, abandon, grieve, despair, disbelieve, and celebrate. This week, we see the light at the end of the tunnel, lose our vision of it entirely in the grimness of death, and then find it again, drenched in glory. Like many of you, I grew up celebrating Palm Sunday with loud, festive processions. As a child, I carried palm branches down the center aisle of my church, sang "All Glory, Laud, and Honor" with my fellow parishioners, and shouted "Hosanna" at the top of my lungs. I did this without even knowing what the word "Hosanna" meant. I assumed it meant some churchy version of "You're awesome," or "We love you," or "Rock on, King of the World." It doesn't. In Hebrew, it means something far less cheery. It means, "Save now." As in, "Lord, we're desperate. We're frantic. We're in trouble. Our praise is steeped in need, want, loss, and lack. Hosanna, Jesus. Save us. Save us now." If you resonate with this plea as you come to the end of Lent, may I offer a word of reassurance. It's okay. All of this authentic hope wrapped in all of this honest fear is okay. It is what Holy Week is about. If the Palm Sunday story is about anything, it is about dazzling hopes and disappointed expectations. It's a story about what happens when the God we want and think we know doesn't show up. And another God, a less efficient, less aggressive, far less muscular God, shows up instead and saves us in ways we didn't know were possible. Welcome to Holy Week. Here we are, and here is our God. Here are our hosannas, broken and earnest, hopeful and hungry. Here is all that is unbearable, and all that promises to end in light brighter than we can imagine. Blessed is the one who comes to die so that we will live.